Okay, Daniel chapter 7, reading at verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. So here we are now after Darius, and now we're back at Belshazzar. How does that work? Well, it doesn't work with our brain. It has to have everything in order. But Daniel did not have this dream and the visions after chapter 6, like we might suppose, but before chapter 5. That's when the dream had come to Daniel. Actually, because it was the first year of Belshazzar's reign, the dream and visions would have been 17 years earlier than after chapter 6. Belshazzar was killed in 539 BC. That's when the Babylonian Empire fell. And according to history, he and his father reigned for 17 years. So this would have put the year of Daniel's dream being the first year of Belshazzar reigned, 556 BC, chapter 5. Just before chapter 5. So Belshazzar the king did not know of Daniel's dream. But when you think about it, he wouldn't have had any interest in it anyway. Kings just were interested in things about them. So the dream was for the future. Belshazzar had no future. This is why we don't see Belshazzar or his soothsaying horoscope reading Chaldeans involved in Daniel's dreams. Didn't involve him. I find it fascinating that God has more than one story going on at a time. It's not confusing for him. He rules the world. But it's very confusing for us. We like everything in chronological order. But first he gives Daniel a dream concerning Nebuchadnezzar. Let's take a look at Daniel. What's the order of things? First he gives a dream concerning Nebuchadnezzar. Then he demonstrates in Nebuchadnezzar's life what happens when a dream is ignored. Then he demonstrates what happens when a person truly repents for ignoring the dream. So he gives the message, and then he gives an example of that message, whether ignored or embraced. And that is ultimately important to God. God isn't just about giving out information in chronological order so people can understand. God is about giving facts concerning people, concerning nations, and then giving help to that nation, which always involves people and a demonstration of how that information was worked out. So that's why this looks like a split, like we're going back, and why are we going back now, and what was that? Why did he just leap from the vision right into what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? Because he was concerned with the application, and not just the application for Nebuchadnezzar, but the application for everybody who was watching Nebuchadnezzar. These Bible stories are for us. And God is watching as we read and looking into our lives to see how we're making out with the application. This thing. The application. What are we doing? I'm not in a rush about it, Kenneth. Everything's fine. Just okay. Yeah. So then he then demonstrates what happens to people who know from the past experience of others. See, we're always interconnected. It can't just, oh, it's just about me. It's never just about us. It doesn't matter what we do, there's always a ripple effect, good or bad. It's always there. So he demonstrates what happens to people who know from the past experience of others what they ought to be doing and yet refuse to do it. He shows that as well. Then he shows what happens to a king, King Cyrus the Mede, who has respect for how God had worked in Daniel's life, for the benefit of all. That's what that was about last week. The thing to remember about the Bible is that it is not a book of information. It is a book of revelation. Although the Bible contains information about people and their encounters with God, the greater truth that it reveals is Christ and our need of Him, not a Savior, the Savior. So all of these stories, everybody needs saved. Well, how can I get saved? Well, God does the saving. Well, who's God? Jesus came in the flesh to us. That's God. God saves people. And then he goes back and he tells of how the same scenario found in all these stories will repeat itself in the future right up to the end of the age. What? There's nothing new under the sun. We're really not as complex or as advanced as, we think we are. The same old, same old. The dust is still being swept under the carpet. And we're in serious denial, especially, I mean, in this age that we live in. Are you serious? More complex, more cars on the road, and now we've legalized something that will make us happy about the mistakes we make. It's just crazy. So he goes back, and this is what he's doing. The stories will repeat themselves and their messages right up to the end of the age. God is using all four of these Gentile kingdoms, to bring his people and Gentiles who will believe back to himself. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 1 to 3. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you. See, it's there. They're in Babylon. They've been driven to Babylon. All these things that you ignored and have come to pass. Consequences. We don't have consequences anymore. We just have what we like. We should have consequences. But the consequences are there, whether we think we have them or not, because God is still there. Verse 2, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today and your children with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. I want you to consider something for a moment. Verse 2, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice according to all that I command you today. Wow. What is the voice of God today? And what is it for Israel today? It's the same as it was before. Romans chapter 10, Paul says, I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And so what did they come back to? In 1948, what did they come back to? They reformed a nation. Did they come back to God? Not yet. This has not happened yet. They've not come back to God yet. They're in a place where they used to be. Hopefully doing what? Well, now we'll rebuild the nation properly. The same thing that happens to us when we vote every time for a new leader. Everything will be, it'll just be different. It won't be better, it'll just be different. I'm sorry, I've lived too long and I've seen too much of it. There's no hope in a nation. There's hope in Jesus, who is the hope of the nations. So the book of Daniel is not in chronological order, by divine design. God is not presenting an exact timeline, nor is he simply revealing facts of the future so people can plan their way through it. That's not what's going on here. He is revealing Christ in the present for the present time of every person throughout time. Well, wait a minute, that's hard to understand. Well, God's hard to understand. Think about it. He's revealing Christ in the present, right now, today. Where are you? What's going on? Right now, Jesus Christ is trying to reveal himself to you in a numerous areas in your lives. That's the thing you want to be keen about. That's why you want to come. That's what you want to come to church for. So that you can see what he's revealing to you about you. What he has for you now and in the future. His will, not mine, not me trying to get God to do something I think needs to be done in my life or others. Now, in the present. Christ in the present. For the present time, the present moment, today, now is the time of salvation. If you're self-willed and self-directing, now is the time to repent of it. Now, as soon as it comes to mind, that's the time. Well, gee, I'll have to think about that now. If you think about it, you're going to bury it again, along with your head. Don't do that. As soon as it comes to you, that's the time. That's the moment. In the present time. Of every person, throughout time. It's always this way. Every person, we always give account to God individually. God has no grandchildren. Just children. Every generation must decide for themselves. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, He was quoting from Isaiah 49, verse 8. He said, "For he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And so, what makes a time acceptable? The moment we decide in our hearts that we just want God's will and we don't care what it is. That moment. When you stop trying to build into the kingdom of self and you just want to live in the will of God. That's an acceptable time. That's when God can move in and deliver you from what's troubling you sometimes, which often is just ourselves and how we approach something or have seen something. Not all the time, but many times. That's what it is. The first year of Belshazzar's reign mentioned in Daniel 7 was 17 years before Daniel chapter 5. Now here's another one. Daniel chapter 8. After this one, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar. So the third year. So he's back to the first year. He's the third year. So now what we have, actually I'll get to that in a minute. So the year was 553. On the second one, in the third year of his reign. In the book of Daniel, God is not giving us a time chart. He's revealing Christ through the scriptures as the primary need of people and necessary head of, and necessary head and ruler over nations. Christ is the necessary head and ruler over nations. You talk about the missing link. There's no missing link. We didn't come from monkeys. But there is a missing link in the nations. And that's being joined to Christ as their head. Leaders don't really have any use for that today. And somebody says, "Oh, I'm a believer." Prove it. Let's have proof. People are saying that all over the place. Born again is like a Hollywood experience. What? Everybody's saying that. We need some proof. Because Jesus is the necessary head and ruler over the nations. That's why nations don't work, and that's why there's no hope in a nation. There's hope in Jesus, who should be the head of the nation. But sadly, these days, it's not so. If we want to see the book of Daniel in chronological order, you see it, I have it up there. Yeah, there you go at the top. It's in your paper. Chapters 1 to 4, chapters 7 and 8, chapters 5 and 6, and then chapters 9 to 12. Why? Because God is telling the story of application for each vision that's given. So we can see what it looks like when God is obeyed and what it looks like when God is not obeyed. We need to see that. And that's why God is, I don't know, he's like an option these days. He's like I have this belief system, you know. If God is in your life, you don't have anything. God has you, which gives you everything he is and has for you. So we like to make God in our image and after the things we like to see. So what the world needs to know is that Jesus, according to God's design, is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. In his rightful place, Jesus is the Lord of lives and the ruler of rulers. In his rightful place, he's the Lord of lives, everybody's life, and the ruler of rulers, all of the rulers, in his rightful place. We have to ask, then, who is on the throne these days? And don't just ask it out there. Ask it in here. Ask it in here. He should be the active head of every nation. The active head, not just a figurehead, not just a saying on a coin, "In God we trust." No, the active head. And how will you know if he's the active head of a nation? The leaders will start looking like Jesus. Not just what they think they'd like to have as being God's will. This is what people need to hear more about than when the Lord is returning. Even if we could nail it down, which we can't, Matthew 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Obviously, the Lord is returning. People need to know this and be ready. But every moment spent going over speculative details about when the Lord is returning could be a moment lost of talking to someone about the Lord. So watch. Stay focused. I'll just close with this thought. 42 years ago, when I gave my life to Jesus, I was ready for His return. Was it that fast? Yeah. How long does it take to get saved? Let me go on. Let me finish my thought. And now, no more. I was ready for His return. I know no more than I did then. Or pardon me. I do know more than I did then about what it means to be ready for His return. But that does not make me more ready for His return. Knowing more about God and some of the details of His return doesn't make me more ready for His return. I'm either saved by grace and continually being saved by grace, or I'm not saved at all. I was no less ready then because of what I didn't know than I am more ready now because of what I do know. When it comes to salvation, it truly is not what we know, it's who we know. It's who we know. Again, what is this book? It's a book that reveals what? Reveals Christ, our need of a Savior. It reveals people and their obvious need of a Savior. When we see these people, when we see Nebuchadnezzar, when we see Belshazzar, we need to see ourselves. Because we're just as capable of correctness and insanity as any one of those people. Don't ever think yourself above or beneath a Bible character. They are an accurate description of what we're capable of. Each and every one. Whether trusting God or not trusting God. And when it comes to who we know, it's about relationship with God and not simply facts concerning Him. One of your greatest tools for witnessing is your own testimony. And what's your own testimony end in? It's all about relationship with God. It's all about relationship broken, a broken life. And it's all about relationship mended, life in Christ. And it's all about new family, other people whose lives have been mended. Remember that when you're sharing. Sure, there'll be some facts. Of course there will be. But always remember your story, because it's about relationship. And what people need in the world is relationship. And what are we lacking today? Relationship. Where are we in our time frame? I'm not going to give you a year, but where we are in our time frame is in the days when the love of many is waxing cold because of the increase of iniquity. You can't tell me that legalizing marijuana is going to improve relationships. It'll just put a smile on a stupid person's face. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. And we're going to bang into each other on the highway way more than we ever used to. But everybody be happy about it. Yeah, it's insanity, isn't it? And who decided to do that? We did. Us people. Now, I'm not against regulated drug use when it's regulated. And I'm not talking about a safe injection site. I'm talking about hospital stuff. I'm talking about people who study and use a little bit of this and a bit of that and it helps people get along and all the rest of it. I get that. But when we make a blanket statement like has happened these days, that's called self-medicating. And it's not wise. Let me just finish a few notes on this page and we'll stop at the end of that. So, facts about him. So Daniel in 556 BC saw into the future through a dream and visions. We have seen some of what he'd seen through history. We are currently seeing some of what he saw. We will not be here to see all that he saw. We'll look into that more when we talk about the rapture of the church. Keeping in mind now that in Daniel 7, it's expanding on Daniel chapter 2. Oh, so there was more that happened in chapter 2. Yes, there was. But we needed to stop and have a look at the implication of the dreams the king had and the rest of it. You need to stop and see the implication of your Bible reading. If it's not having any effect on you, stop reading it. Wait till your life gets more desperate. Application. So that's what this is. So this is this a new thing? Is this a different thing they tried to jam together? No. This is in perfect sequence with how God instructs us and educates us. Classroom time, practical application. Classroom time, practical application. The mission field is out there. We've done this at Cape Henry. Katie would know. We've done this at Cape Henry before in the classes. And I often say that the classroom is the, and you've heard me say this, the classroom is the download of information. The install doesn't take place until you're out there in the world where you live. And to, I'm not particularly fond of computers, but nonetheless, how it works is you download a program. Katie would know. She's younger than I am. You download a program, and that's the download, and that's good. But if you don't install it. Well, so the computer takes all that information and it puts it all in those crazy places it has, and this kind of, then it goes, okay, now you can use it. Exactly. It becomes useful out there. That's how God educates us. Daniel 7 is from God's point of view. He's zeroing in on nations. And because they are reliant on themselves as sufficient, they have ultimately aligned themselves to be ruled and taken over by the spirit of Antichrist. Self-sufficiency. The devil loves that. He just loves that. Self-centeredness. He's all over that. And if you entertain those kind of attitudes, you are welcoming him into your life, into the things you do. And the reason he's jerking you around like a dog on a chain is because you gave him the chain. So, some serious things about being God-centered and not self-centered. And I'll leave that with you, and we'll start next week. And verse 2. That was verse 1 of Daniel chapter 7. And next week, it's going to be verse 2 and 3. And who knows, we may even go further than that. God knows.